It's time for some fresh air. So start packing, put on some sunscreen, and grab your favorite walking stick. This is WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited. Here's your host, Steve Scafidi.
Welcome to WTMJ Outdoors. Yes, it's another episode on this fine Saturday here in Wisconsin, and I love talking about the outdoors. This is one I haven't done yet, though, and I wanted to sort of bring all the pieces together when we're talking about Wisconsin outdoors. This one is turkey hunting, and who better to talk to than Taylor Finger? He's a game bird ecologist, Bureau of Wildlife Management for the Wisconsin DNR. Happy outdoors, Taylor.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You guys have been so great for the show, and I've had a lot of people from the Wisconsin DNR on, but I wanted to do something on the turkey hunt. I actually have never turkey hunted. It's on my to-do list, and whenever I get to retirement, whenever that is, it's going to be something that I actively participate in because I have lots of friends and family who do. But let's start with the basics, the fall turkey hunt in Wisconsin. I believe it's already started, correct?
Absolutely. Yep, started on September 13th.
All right, so let's get some dates and some information. I know there's some zone differences between the southern part of the state and the rest of the state. So let's kind of lay out the rules of the game when it comes to the when you can turkey hunt.
Yeah, so for 2025, all seven of our zones opened up on the 13th. And then essentially all of those zones you can hunt until November 21st. And then zones 6 and 7 in the north, those stop for the year on November 21st, so right around deer season. The rest of the state, the southern three-quarters of the state, will continue through January 4th. And that's just, again, this is going to be the last year for that. Starting next year in 2026, we'll have all of our zones open up through January 4th. So those will be the differences this year compared to next year.
I know someone's going to ask me on email, and my email is steve.scafidi@wtmj.com for all you folks listening. What's the tag process? What do folks have to do?
Yeah, so for your fall tag, you can just purchase it right over the counter. We have so many tags that are available for each zone within the state. There is no specific seasons like we have in the spring season where it's a 7-day season. You can go and purchase your tag right over the counter, and when those tags are filled, then we're full for the season. So just make sure that you go out there and get them when you can.
How would you describe the state of the turkey population in Wisconsin?
Right now, we are sitting really good. Right now, Wisconsin's probably the shining beacon across the country in terms of our turkey numbers. We've seen pretty significant declines in turkey populations across much of the South. However, Wisconsin, in 2025 and 2024, we had our fourth and fifth highest harvest on record during the spring.
So what do you attribute that to?
Well, we have a very strict system as it relates to hunting and harvest. So we do have specific periods. We have specific tag allocations, and so, you typically have one tag that's good for 7 days. If you don't harvest a bird, you either have to wait and try and get another tag later in the season. So the interesting thing about turkeys is that outside of lead and tungsten, adult survival rates in the 90%. So essentially, if you want more turkeys, we kill less turkeys. If you want less turkeys, you kill more turkeys. So we have a system that allows us to tweak that pretty well compared to some of the states in the South and the East where it's go to the tag or go to the counter and buy 4 or 5 tags and it's good for 2 months.
Somebody asked me this question, and when I knew I was going to have you on, I wanted to put it to you. I think that a lot of folks who are not hunters, especially turkey hunters, they see turkeys in urban areas. The rise of the urban turkey, if you want to call them that, is that related to the general population success, or is it just sort of this weird piece of Wisconsin turkey history?
No, it's absolutely related to their success. If you'd asked 10, 15 years ago, we had relatively few to no urban turkeys, and now the population is just getting to a point where they're moving out of excellent habitat into what would be considered other habitat and urban's other habitat. So now people are dealing with them roosting on their roofs or chasing them as they come out of the grocery store.
What's the best strategy when a turkey approaches you on a, like Wauwatosa, for example, has a pretty good healthy population. What's the best strategy to avoid conflict?
If you know that they're in the area, I would suggest going to a different grocery right. store or not necessarily walking down the street with your dog.
Right.
That being said, if you know there are known turkey issues, that's reaching out to your city council person or whoever is in charge of that. And they work with U.S. Department of Ag and Wisconsin DNR on how to handle those nuisance turkeys.
Taylor Finger joining us from the Wisconsin DNR as a game bird ecologist for the Bureau of Wildlife Management. And it's interesting because when I was a kid and we pheasant hunted with my dad and my cousins and stuff, we saw a lot of pheasants. Is there a correlation between the rise of the turkey population and maybe I'm wrong on this, but the decline of pheasants?
Yeah, no, not there's no direct correlation there. It's all really based on habitat. And so turkeys have done really well here in the state because they are very much habitat generalist in that they can take advantage of forest edges, they can take advantage of agricultural fields, they can, like I said, take advantage of urban environments, whereas pheasants are pretty strictly need large areas of grassland habitat. We have, over the last 50, 60 years, dug up just about every one of those grassland habitats and made it into agricultural landscape, and it's hard to sustain a significant population when you just don't have that available for them.
I will tell you, one of the coolest things is when you're when I'm participating in the gun deer season, you walk out and you see a field of turkeys or turkeys come by in the woods. That is just it's a cool thing to just watch that. And what's a gathering of turkeys called again? I always forget.
A flock of turkeys.
Flock of turkeys, yeah. And I guess let's do this. We'll take a break. You're listening to WTMJ Outdoors and 6.1 WTMJ. Taylor Finger is our guest, game bird ecologist, the Bureau of Wildlife Management for the Wisconsin DNR. After the break, we'll find out a little bit about Taylor, how he got into the wildlife outdoors business and his story. After this, WTMJ Outdoors, sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited on 6.20 WTMJ.
Back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors. Great guest today, Taylor Finger. He's a game bird ecologist for the Bureau of Wildlife Management, Wisconsin DNR. All right, I'm always fascinated, Taylor, by people's story. You are a game bird ecologist. How did you get into this?
Yeah, so I was born and raised in central Wisconsin. My family had a 160-acre farm, and so I've been hunting my entire life, whether it's been turkey hunting, deer hunting, or waterfowl hunting. And I always said if I could make a career out of doing something like that, that would be the ideal way to go. And that's kind of the direction I headed. I went to University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point, like most wildlife folks do. Got my bachelor's there and then moved to Ontario, Canada, and did a master's project on lesser scaup or bluebills for waterfowl, put transmitters in them and tracked their migration, compared it to weather patterns. And everything that I had after that was waterfowl related. I worked out west. I went to New Jersey and worked on black duck and brant, and came back and worked for the DNR, became the assistant waterfowl or ecologist or assistant migratory bird ecologist, worked with that for a couple of years, and then became the migratory bird ecologist. And then when you do a good job, they give you more work, and they're like, well, birds are birds, so we're going to give you turkeys and pheasants and small game as well. So I'm mostly a migratory bird guy by experience and knowledge, and I'm rapidly learning how to become a turkey and pheasant biologist.
I know people are always curious, day-to-day, what's your job like? Well, like, what are you doing?
I try to get out of the office as much as possible, but when you have, 65,000 waterfowl hunters or 100,000 turkey hunters or 80,000 pheasant hunters that are out there, a lot of my day ends up being trying to manage a lot of the questions that come in, the comments that come in, the feedback that come in as it relates to hunting seasons. But when I do get out in the field, I fly the waterfowl survey and count birds each spring. I was able to capture some turkeys for one of the research projects that we have in central Wisconsin. We banned a lot of waterfowl. So again, I try to get out when I can.
You mentioned a research project. What are you trying to find out?
Yeah, for turkeys, we're putting backpack transmitters on hen birds, and we're going to look at, and we have a Snapshot Wisconsin. If folks don't know what that is, it's a trail camera program that we have here in the state. And what we're going to look at is comparing what pictures we get from our trail cameras compared to the actual counts of the broods that a turkey will have during the springtime. And if we can kind of compare the two and make a correction factor, we'll be able to use trail camera photos to try to assess turkey production each spring.
You mentioned UW-Stevens Point. You're the third or fourth person that I've talked to that I think worked for the Wisconsin DNR or worked in an outdoors occupation related to, you know, hunting that have mentioned that university. Why do you think – I know it's their focus and one of their focuses there, but why do you think they do such a great job of training our, you know, future experts in the outdoors and hunting and fishing and all the activities in Wisconsin?
I may be a little biased, but, you know, I've been all over the country, and I would say that Stevens Point has the best undergrad wildlife program in the country just because they do put so much focus on whether it's wildlife management, whether it's population dynamics, whether it's forestry. We just natural resource-based education is what Stevens Point is known for compared to some of the other universities across the state, which may have one wildlife class or one forestry class. The entire program is built around natural resources at Point.
You are a game bird ecologist, but I always want to know what people's favorite outdoor occupation story is. Is something that you like to do outdoors that maybe it's not related directly to what you do at work?
Yeah, I'm a big waterfowl guy, so I absolutely love getting out. This is the time of the year here. The opener of the North starts this Saturday, and the opener of the South starts the Saturday after. So try to get out and do as much, spend as much time in the marsh, spend as much time on the big water, wherever I can. I enjoy duck hunting.
Taylor Finger, he's a game bird ecologist, Bureau of Wildlife Management for the Wisconsin DNR. Enjoyed the conversation. Let's talk again. There's plenty of other things we can converse about on the outdoors program.
Awesome. Again, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You're listening to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors. Always enjoy conversations about the great outdoors in Wisconsin and beyond, because we've talked about African safaris on this program. This one is an interesting one because I think it's the first time we've connected the outdoors with veterans. Joining us is live in studio, Tammy Sawyer. She's from Wisconsin Hero Outdoors. Welcome to WTMJ Outdoors.
Well, thank you for having me.
So
much appreciated.
Let's start with the basics. I mean, tell me about the organization.
Yes, we are located out in Delafield. We actually have a brick and mortar facility. We are in an old fire station, actually.
Interesting.
So we are serving the local heroes that used to be in that facility, which is pretty twofold.
So how did that happen? How did you get to be able to use an old fire station?
You know, we had been looking for a space to lease for quite a while, and it just happened that that old fire station was being used for storage, and we were fortunate enough to work with the town and sign a lease. This is our fourth year now in the facility, and we're on 7 acres. We actually do have a garden that we grow vegetables for veterans in the area.
Love that.
And we actually also do honey. Speaking of, I actually have a jar of honey to give you today.
Well, that's cool. I rarely get gifts on the program, so I'm excited about that. So maybe I should have started with this. Why are you involved with Wisconsin Outdoor Vets? Like, is this something you created? Is something you just came along?
You know, I joined the group in 2018. I myself was never brave enough to sign the dotted line to serve our country. And this, to me, was a really great avenue to give back to those veterans who have served.
So we're talking about veterans, and I've done on my regular radio show, I've talked about some of the challenges, obviously high suicide rates, drug addiction, all the problems of the men and women who served our country. And I've said for a long time, we have let them down when it comes to providing them the services they need to sort of reintegrate after, you know, serving at the highest level, the most dangerous situations in the world. So what I love about this idea when I saw it is you're taking that problem and finding a solution. So let's start to mesh the two ideas. You have vets coming with, that are struggling with some issues, and the outdoors. How do those two things mesh?
Absolutely. So our group, we do peer support. So one-on-one. There are no doctors or therapists. You know, they can come and enjoy our outdoor activities, everything from fishing to kayaking to beekeeping, whatever it may be. And it's free of charge to them. And the reason we do that, as you touched on, is the outdoors are so healing. And just being outside, put the sun on your face, can do so many wonders to your soul. And we feel that veterans, as you mentioned, they have a hard time reconnecting and getting back out there. And this allows them kind of a small step into that.
So I want to give you a couple opportunities to tell people how they can actually help your cause at Wisconsin Outdoors for Vets. Is it Wisconsin Outdoor Vets?
Wisconsin Hero Outdoors.
That's right. Wisconsin Hero Outdoors. All right, so let's talk about how someone listening today could help you.
Absolutely. The biggest way to get information, the fastest way, I should say, I apologize, is Facebook. We have a great Facebook page, Instagram, but also our website, which is www.wiherooutdoors.org.
One more time.
www.wiherooutdoors.org.
First of all, the name is exactly appropriate, Wisconsin Hero Outdoors. So tell me about some of these things you do. You must have some stories, fishing, kayaking, you know, the bee thing with the honey, which you're giving me a sample. What do they do? Like, how do they sign up or how do they find out about it?
Absolutely. We have a form on our website that they can fill out, contact us form, and it goes right to us, and then we can reach out to them, you know, again. They also can message us through social media, which is another way to do it. And just whatever is of interest to them. You know, we have different, so many different offerings, because not one solution is the perfect answer.
It's the one-on-one thing that works, right?
Yeah, if we do small groups, you know, we used to do larger groups, but we've realized that 10 or less is much more effective. And the participants enjoy that as well, that they can have that more one-on-one in that group.
So if, I guess I'll ask it this way. How do the vets, is it the same contact that like someone wants to donate? Do they just find out that way? Or is there some other alternate way to get into the system there?
Wow, you're fabulous. Donating. I love it. So yeah. Yes, it is. It's exactly it. So okay. They can go to our website, social media, and contact us.
So before we go to break, tell me a story. You don't have to name the name, but like a vet that's come to you and you know, can be general as you want it to be, but how they sort of benefited from what you do at Wisconsin Hero Outdoors.
I'll try to make this one quick. We had a gentleman who joined us for an event. He knew one of our board members and would only talk to that individual. You know, I would give them lunch. They would hop in the kayak and they'd go out and hang out. And this happened a couple different times, a couple different events. He wouldn't talk to anybody but that one person. And by, I think it was the third or fourth time, it was finally eye-to-eye contact. Names were being used. He was engaging with the other participants and he felt much more at ease. And it was amazing to see that change in that person, to go from so shell-shocked to being willing to talk to somebody.
I love it. You got to feel so good about the work you do.
It is rewarding, 100%.
All right, we're going to find out a lot more after the break. You're listening to WTMJ Outdoors, sponsored by the great folks at Outdoor Living Unlimited, right here on 620 WTMJ.
Back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors. Got a good one today. This is a fun, important topic when you're talking about the outdoors. Wisconsin Hero Outdoors, representing that organization, Tammy Sawyer in studio, bringing the honey, which I love. And I love honey. I put a little in my coffee, actually.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. So we talked about your organization. Let's give people another opportunity where they can find it, and more importantly, where they can donate. How do they do that?
Go to our website, which is www.wiherooutdoors.org. We actually have a donate button right on the homepage, actually.
All right. This question came into my mind during the break. Can you tailor a veteran's outdoor experience to what they want to do?
Yes, within limits. We are kind of like a mini Cabela's. We have all of the equipment.
Well, Cabela's a big store.
It
You're
is.
A mini Cabela's.
Yes, we are a mini. You walk in and we have kayaks and canoes, snowshoes, fishing gear, archery, you name it, we've got it. So if it's within our parameters of what we have, absolutely we can tailor that experience for them.
Give me a couple examples that sort of stretch it beyond kayaking and canoeing. Well, something you've done with a vet that's like, whoa, that's interesting.
You know, I'm going to go a little outside the wheelhouse on this one, is our women's retreats.
Okay.
And that is a much underserved area. We have a lot of female veterans
sure.
who are, you know, struggling, and they need that camaraderie just like everyone else does. And so every year we've hosted a small women's retreat, and it's been extremely beneficial. You know, we do get outdoors and do activities, but having that one-on-one with them, most of them are strangers. And by the end of that weekend, they're the best of friends and they can share information.
Do you bring vets together too?
Yes.
I imagine, because even in small groups, they can make connections that they may be isolated in whatever issues they're dealing with, but they can come together in your organization and make some new friends.
Absolutely. That is.
All right. So one of the things I always do on this program is I ask people who are guests on the program, even exclusive of what you're talking about today, is why you love the outdoors. So I'm going to ask you, like, how you celebrate the outdoors, even beyond what you do for Wisconsin Hero Outdoors. Like, how do you celebrate the outdoors?
You know, I grew up close to the water. And
where was this?
Out in Lake Country area, out in Pewaukee.
Gorgeous.
I absolutely love just being near the water.
Did you water ski?
Sailing.
Sailing.
Competitive sailing.
That's highbrow.
Yeah. Not actually, but but yeah, it just is. There's something about being near the water and having the sun on your face and just being outside. And, you know, and I also grew up in the winters around here. I mean, I'm not a big fan of the cold, but just being outside in that fresh snow, going maybe snowshoeing or something is just wonderful. For
it reminds me of this question. So is there seasonal limitations on what you can do with Wisconsin Hero Outdoors or no?
You know, we've got some crazy characters that love to go ice fishing. I am not one of them, but they love it.
But if they want to go ice fishing, and we will
make it happen. 100%.
Okay, so I don't want to just make it about individual donations. If a corporate partner or a business wants to, are there certain like in-kind donations that you would be looking for to make the vet experience outdoors better or enhance it?
You know, that's a great question.
I ask great questions.
You do. I've noticed. So in-kind donations, we're always looking, 100%. We also are looking for sponsors for different events. Okay. Like I mentioned, our ladies retreat. You know, we need people to help sponsor because it's free to them.
Mm-hmm.
All the housing, everything. Everything that we do is free to our participants. So donations and sponsorships go a long way.
When you meet a new vet, and you created an experience for them in small groups or one-on-one, there's always a rewarding feeling about doing something positive. And it's one of the reasons I wanted to have Wisconsin Hero Outdoors and you, Tammy, on the show is because I love people to do positive things. So how do you feel after one of these things or several of these vet opportunities where they're outdoors in the beautiful state of Wisconsin? It's got to make you feel better and richer and all those things.
It does. It's when you can have participants, and I don't mean to be negative, but when you have participants who come up to you and say, if it wasn't for this, excuse me, this program, I wouldn't be here.
I love that.
And
that's something they need.
Yes. And I've had that several times. And it makes you say, oh my gosh, all of this is worth it because we just potentially saved a couple of lives.
I said it at the beginning. It is always astounding to me that given we ask young men and women, sometimes not so young men and women, to go overseas, to Afghanistan, Iraq, wherever it is, it could be a peaceful situation, but we're asking them to give up their lives for us on behalf of our country, that we don't do everything possible on the back end to make that transition and the rest of our life so much easier. I think we used to do that, and we sort of gotten away from that. And when I saw the name of your organization, Wisconsin Hero Outdoors, I said, oh my God, we got to have them on the outdoor show, because that's the essence of people stepping up for the people who are doing the hard work in places around this world and in this country.
I agree. And it's, you know, you mentioned that, you know, mental health earlier, and you know, I don't know if you've ever heard the number of 22 a day.
Yeah,
we
it's
lose.
Shocking.
It is. And what's difficult is they talk about how we lose 22 veterans a day to suicide, but they don't count drug or alcohol overdoses,
right,
nor do they count vehicular accidents. So that number is much higher.
Yeah.
And these, like you just said, these people, they protected our freedom. They've protected for us to do what we are doing right this second. And they're the ones who are struggling, and we need to make a difference with that. That is a huge virus that we have. We've got to fix it.
I absolutely love the work that you're doing. That's why I said I have to have Tammy on the show. Wisconsin Hero Outdoors, it helps veterans sort of get out there, as you said, sun on their faces. And even in the winter, which is not my favorite thing either anymore, as I get older, I don't want to be sitting out in zero, but some people love that stuff. And you can take a problem and find a solution. And in this case, it's matching that to an outdoors situation. I absolutely love it. All right. Final chance to tell people how they can donate. And this is a big one. I want you to pay attention. When you donate, you can send me an email at steve.scafidi, 2F1D, at WTMJ.com. And I'll give you credit on the air because I absolutely love this organization and this idea. So how can folks find you?
www.wiherooutdoors.org.
Love it. You are a hero, even though you never take that kind of credit. But you are one of those special people that does really cool things. And I've always been vet focused. I, like you, did not serve, but my dad was in the Air Force. My brother was in the Navy. And I know what that commitment is like. And my brother's still an air traffic controller all these years later, 40 some years later. He's about ready to retire. I love what you do, and I want to help you do what you do. So let's keep the conversation going. And at some point on a future episode, if we can get a vet to come in and talk about the experience with you, that would be fantastic.
Absolutely. We can make that happen.
All right. It's Wisconsin Hero Outdoors. She is Tammy Sawyer. And one more time, I'm going to give you one more chance. What's that place where they can contact you to make a donation?
www.wiherooutdoors.org.
This is one of the best interviews that I've done on WTMJ Outdoors, and we're about 4 months old now. Help that organization. It's the best cause you can think of. It's an important cause. And if you can help out a vet in any possible way, buy him a cup of coffee if you want to. If you see a vet, thank them, certainly. Tammy Sawyer, awesome. Thanks for being on WTMJ Outdoors.
Thank you so much.
Lots more to come on WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited. All right, this is an interesting topic because every day when I go to work here on the Avenue, on Wisconsin Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, I drive over the Milwaukee River, or the KK River as part of it is, and I thought, who better to talk to than somebody who actually looks after our local river basin? And joining us on WTMJ Outdoors is Jennifer Bolger-Braceda.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So tell me about your mission statement. What do you do at Milwaukee River Keeper?
Yeah, Milwaukee River Keeper, we're a nonprofit organization. We've been around for 30 years, which is hard to believe. We're celebrating our 30th anniversary this year. And we are working to improve the rivers in the Milwaukee River Basin, which is a really big body of water. It's not just downtown. It goes all the way up to Fond du Lac. And snakes about 900 different river miles all the way down to the downtown area and out into Lake Michigan and connects with our beautiful lake.
So the easy question for me is, okay, so I love the mission and I love the fact that we're doing this. And I think to me, as I've looked at it over the many years I've driven across the rivers in Milwaukee, it looks cleaner. So how do we go about cleaning our river basin? How do we achieve that?
Well, there's a lot of different things that people can do, companies can do to help protect and restore our rivers. Everything that happens on land basically eventually goes into the river. That's the way the Earth is set up with geography and gravity and wind and rain. You know, there's lots of little things people can do every day to avoid having pollutants go into the river, like fertilizers and road salt and all those sorts of things. We have a lot of information on our website. We also have a really exciting cleanup that's happening right now. It's a huge, massive undertaking in Milwaukee.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, we're called an area of concern, which is just a kind of a legal connotation designation that we received along with about 40 other ones around the Great Lakes and various cities. And it just means that all of the manufacturing and byproducts of our bygone years in the 1800s and the early 1900s, before we had systems and regulations to manage pollution, all of that sort of byproduct is at the bottom of the river, and it's impacting our ability to recreate on the river. It's impacting wildlife and fish. We have fish consumption restrictions as a result of that. And so we, you know, it's Milwaukee River Keeper, along with a handful of other partners, agencies, municipal government agencies, and other nonprofits who have, you know, come together, linked arms, walking step in step to scrape this gunk off the bottom of the river in record time. We, as a community, were awarded $450 million last year for this cleanup. And
wow.
It's truly,
wow.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. We're trying to approach this different than other communities and really get it done quickly. You know, measure twice, cut once, that kind of
a
thing.
Yeah.
If we work together, we can go further faster. So that's a very exciting effort that is taking place that hopefully will really make a difference in terms of our water quality.
So not to get too far into the weeds, but when you have ancient pollution, at least in terms of our city, hundreds of years of pollution sitting at the bottom, how do you clean that?
You dredge it. You scrape that sediment from the bottom of the river, and then you send it to a place that where it can be contained. So right now it's uncontained, uncontrolled, and it's causing issues. If we can, you know, put it in a spot where it's not, you know, it's all contained in one area, it can be managed better.
So we've seen over the, I'd say the last 10 years or so, maybe a little longer than that, the return of people using kayaks and canoes along the river. Is your goal to have at some point it be more of a swimmable river or rivers?
Yes. I mean, our goal is to get our rivers swimmable, fishable, drinkable. Those are actually terms, legal and scientific standards from the Clean Water Act. But basically, in simple terms, we want people to be able to swim in the rivers without worrying about whether or not the water is safe. We want people to be able to catch a fish and eat it. That should be our right. We have a lot of cultures and communities and people who love to fish. You know, our fishing tourism dollars in Wisconsin are massive. And, you know, and then our drinking water, maybe people know, but I don't know. You know, our rivers, our three rivers connect with Lake Michigan. They slosh back and forth. And that is the drinking water source for over 1.3 million people in the Milwaukee area. Mm. And we need to protect that and keep it clean. So it really is. And it's smarter, right, to have water that's cleaner so we don't have to spend all this money treating it and you know, potentially running into issues with it. So we do want to see swimmable, fishable, drinkable water.
I want to give you a couple chances to tell people how they can find out more information about your organization. Let's do one now. What's your website address?
It is MilwaukeeRiverKeeper.org, and that's singular, all one word, Milwaukee River
Perfect.
Keeper.
Yeah. So if you know, how do we rate against other cities, not just of our size, but say against the Chicago River, which sort of flows away from Lake Michigan, out into Lake Michigan. I think they reversed that many years ago. How do we rate compared to other big cities?
You know, I don't know. I will say that I don't know if a lot of other cities do what Milwaukee River Keeper does, which is we have a huge water quality monitoring program with over 100 volunteers that go out all year long and collect thousands of samples of our water, send it to the State Lab of Hygiene, have that analyzed, and then we publish a report card on the health of our rivers. So we actually have a report card, and you know, your listeners can go to our website, look at the report card, and see the water quality in their backyard. You know, the Milwaukee River snakes all over the place, and so you know, you can really see what are the issues impacting your river right where you live, and then overall in the basin. And we typically hover around a C-D+, which not great. We got A's in a lot of areas. We got F's in a lot of areas too. Phosphorus, bacteria, turbidity, which is sediment or kind of the quote unquote air quality of water for aquatic life, and chloride. Those are the four big areas where we tend to see major issues.
Jennifer Bolger-Braceda joining us from Milwaukee River Keeper, a great organization, really tasked along with the federal government and the state of Wisconsin in making our local river basin, which is a lot bigger than just Milwaukee, as Jennifer said earlier. I'm always curious, Jennifer, how people got involved. How did you get involved with Milwaukee River Keeper or the fight to have cleaner water, better river system?
It's a great question. Well, personally, I got involved. I'm a lawyer by training. I practiced environmental law for 15 years in private practice. Before I came to Riverkeeper, I was on the board, and they were looking for an executive director. And this organization, because they work on policy and advocacy and science and community engagement, was just really a perfect fit for my heart, for what I really wanted to do with my career. So it was an easy choice for me. A lot of people get involved. We do, our founder, who started the organization, it started on the Menominee River, as the Friends of the Menominee River, was just trying to do a cleanup one day. The river had, you know, some trash around it, and he gathered some neighbors together, and they started the organization by doing some cleanups on a regular basis, and it just grew from there. And then we joined the Waterkeeper Alliance, which is a large international coalition of over 300 waterkeepers around the world, protecting a specific geographic watershed, which is actually a really cool thing for Milwaukee River Keeper. You know, it kind of puts us on the map on a global level, which is really nice.
Well, when I heard about your organization, I said, I'm an outdoor show, and I certainly want to celebrate the waterways of Wisconsin, Milwaukee specifically, and keep up the good work. I encourage you to keep doing that work as we sort of clean up our river system. If folks want to help or volunteer or donate, how do they do that?
They go to our website as the easiest way to get involved. And we have over 5,000 volunteers, and people volunteer with us year over year. And I cannot underscore how important it is to have everybody help. So we would love to have people reach out to us. We need more volunteers.
Jennifer Bolger-Braceda, thanks for joining WTMJ Outdoors.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're listening to WTMJ Outdoors on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited. Country roads,
take me home. Hey, thanks for listening to another episode of WTMJ Outdoors on 620 WTMJ. And again, thanks to Outdoor Living Unlimited for making it all possible. And all of you who tune in every week to listen to our program. And it's always a program where you can be part of the show as well. So if you have an idea, guest, possibly a organization, or comments, send them my way at steve.scafidi@wtmj.com. Two F's, one D in Scafidi. steve.scafidi@wtmj.com. And we'll do our best to work them into the future programs of WTMJ Outdoors. Had a great show today. Started off with Taylor Finger, game bird ecologist for the Bureau of Wildlife Management for the Wisconsin DNR, as we get set to launch the fall turkey season in Wisconsin. How exciting is that? Lots of turkey hunters will be in the woods, and according to what Taylor said, lots of turkeys in the woods as well. That match means we'll have some success during the turkey season in Wisconsin. We were then joined by Tammy Sawyer, who, this was a great one because this was a recommendation from one of you. She represents an organization called Wisconsin Heroes Outdoors. What do? They combine the outdoors with a need by vets to get outdoors. Those vets who are struggling to get back into regular life, and part of that regular life is to be outdoors. Well, their organization does a lot with vets and fishing and kayaking and really any outdoor experience. So Tammy joined us to talk about all of that. And the best thing about it is it's free for our vets. So thanks to Tammy and their great organization, Wisconsin Here Outdoors, for being a part of that success story. And we wrapped it all up with Jennifer Bolger-Braceda. She represents Milwaukee River Keeper, keeping our waterways clean and navigable, and that's something that we have not talked about on the show before, and I wanted to make sure that we got that in, because all of these pieces of the outdoors puzzle is what we do here on WTMJ Outdoors. So thanks to Jennifer for joining us and for being part of this week's show. As I said at the beginning, if you want to be part of the show, if you have a guest or an organization that you feel should be represented on WTMJ Outdoors, simple way to do it. Just email me at steve.scafidi, 2F1D, at wtmj.com. I'll go even slower. Steve.scafidi, 2F1D, at wtmj.com. Thanks to the folks at Outdoor Living Unlimited for making it all possible, and all of you for listening every weekend here on WTMJ. We'll have lots more next week on WTMJ Outdoors, and you know where we're at, 620 WTMJ.